Let's go into the Lord's agreement in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree at the end of today's teaching, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Are we in church? Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise God. Should we go on?
Mm-hmm.
We are home. Yeah, so turn the Bibles quickly with me. It's John chapter 3, verse 16. John 3:16. Can we read John 3:16 together? John chapter 3, verse 16. Can we read together?
Yes.
1, 2, 3, go. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Sounds simple, right? But there's a lot to say there. Are we together? So Jesus is saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now let me ask you a question. Who is the Son that God gave? Who is the Son that God gave? Jesus. So Jesus gave his Son, Jesus. And who did God give Jesus for?
Man.
Did God give Jesus for only Christians?
No.
Does God love only Christians?
No.
Eh? You sure? Right? So God doesn't, so that scripture doesn't say, for God so loved all the Christians on earth. Right? Or for God so loved only the Christians. It says, for God so loved the world. So does God love mankind?
Yes.
So what did God do to show his love for mankind? God gave his Son. Now what does that mean? It means God gave his Son, and he says, whosoever believeth on him should not what?
Right.
But have what?
Right.
Everlasting life. So what is the difference between you who has believed the gospel and another who has not believed the gospel? Everlasting life. Are we together? Or you can say the difference is that you believe to have everlasting life. So now that you have everlasting life, does that change the fact that God still loves man?
No.
Right? So a man who is an unbeliever, does God love the man?
Yes.
What is different between you and that man? You received of the love, he hasn't received of the love. What does God expect of that man? God expects that that man should receive the love. Are we together? So for God so loved the world as he gave. Now, over the week, I tried to explain some very fundamental truths about the world. And we said the doctrine of God's love is not something that started with Jesus. And some of us believe, or some of us grew up believing, that God was angry. Are we together? Right? You know, some of us cannot place our hearts between the God of what you call the Old Testament and the New Testament. Right? Because the God of Old Testament, once you just touch him, so what happened? He begins to vibrate, looking for blood. And we're together, right? So he begins to say, who are those people that are offended? Destroy all of them! And we're together. You know, some people still believe that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of what? Hallelujah. Because of what? Yeah, that's what a lot of us believe. Is homosexuality still in practice today?
Yeah.
That means we're in trouble. You mean small? That means we share the grace today and we don't see ourselves next week. God has what? He has done again what he did before. The God that does not change, he sees and does it. Some of us believe that it is just the practice of homosexuality. And that's not to say that that practice is, you know, is at the scripture, definitely. Altogether. But the reason why man is destroyed across scriptures fundamentally is because of unbelief. Remember the man called Noah? Let's assume Noah built an ark. Let's assume Noah built an ark. Right? What was that ark to do for them? It was to save them from what? Destruction. Altogether. So was anybody that was in the ark destroyed by the flood? But did they still die eventually?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what was Noah's act supposed to point to? That God gives a message and man should hear the message. And when man hears the message and believes it, man is saved from destruction. How many years did Noah preach for? I've told that before. 120 years. Noah was preaching a message. So it means that Noah took 120 years to persuade people to enter into an ark. That's to exhibit what? The long suffering of our God. So there's a message that said there is destruction coming. Are we together? And man is to find safety in the ark. Right? So if you check the consistency of God's love, you cannot afford to teach a different kind of God that became calm when Jesus came. Some of us believe that God was hot. God was hot-tempered. Then when Jesus came to what? Persuade him with what? His blood. Right? And Jesus took his blood to God in a what? In a basin. And he said, "Dear God, this is my blood. Because of this blood, don't tamper, how do you say it? Tamper mercy with justice. Tamper justice with mercy. Right? Just forgive them." Have you seen pastors who say things like, "God was about to blow the trumpet yesterday"? Eh? God was about to blow the trumpet. It's not trumpet, it's saxophone. God was about to blow the trumpet yesterday. But Jesus knelt down on his knee and said, "Remember my blood. Don't let the flogging go in vain." Then God will now hear. God will now say, "Give me a little cup here. What is God for? To pour a little blood." God will now drink it. And I say, "I'm calm now." Yeah. Now say, "Angel Gabriel, just hold on with the trumpet. Hold on with the trumpet." Then you now look at the world again and see men doing what they. You know that things that man will do on this earth, there's every tendency we've not seen it all. You know that. You see, to me, I hear different news every day of different various atrocities that man does, and they are new to me. Like, you understand? You would think that the height that man can do as wickedness has been done. Mm-hmm. Until you hear another one that, in this same Mark Zuckerberg's Facebook, right? You like, so people behave like this. So it means that in the real sense, God is waiting for the day that the atrocity will be much more dangerous. And you say, "You know what? I cannot take it again. I cannot what? Take it again." And you say, "What's the book of life? Is your name in the book of life?" You know that song? How many of you sang it? You didn't sing it. What were you singing? Dictionary of Life. "Is your name in the book of life?" And you start crying. "Is your name in the book of life? What exactly is your name in the book of life? What exactly is the book of life about?" You see, in science, we learn that books are from trees. Are we together? So it means before a book should be established, fundamentally, a tree should have been established. So how did God now do sawmill to convert tree to book? Then we think we have a book. How many people are on earth at this point in time? An average of what? Let's say over five to six billion people. Seven. I think the last record I saw was seven, actually. Right? So we have an average. Let's not remove 500 million, it's too much. So let's just assume we are 6 point. Let's say we are 7 billion people. That is 7 billion people at this point, P or T, in human race. Mm-hmm. Now think about the people who are born in their billions before you. Mm-hmm. Right? So when somebody just gets saved, God just brings one book. Right? I just say, "Write his name there. He's born again." Say, "Write my name in the book of life." Right? An angel will now go and write it in the book of life. Then as soon as you left the church, somebody basically stepped on you. Now you saw the person. God will now say, "Last warning." Before you get to your house. You know that five people can offend you between here and your house. On the part of the world where I come from, there's a city called Lagos, right? And one of the ways to reduce the number of the ratio of probability of people to make you upset is to walk. Don't drive. Don't enter cab. Don't enter taxi. Don't enter bus. Just walk. Even that walk, it's not like they will not offend you, because people that are still driving will still splash water on you. And we move their open their window and say, "Hello," and be driving off. Are we together? Eh? But in the real sense, you can get upset just from stepping out of church. In fact, even in the church, right? And when you just do something and retaliate, God will now say, "I'm no longer happy with you." Or that you now ask the angel to use the text. You think God has the text? So, but God will not remove your whole name. So imagine God had a book, he had to call people's names out. You know, I'm not the only Joshua used to on the earth. know. So imagine you just say, Joshua, Yusuf. 20 of us just run forward. Then the angel will now say, it's not you. It's not you, it's not you, it's not you. And now we say, angel, check it now. My middle name is. Yeah, so we think that when he says your name is in the book of life, it actually means your literal name. Oh, yes, that's not what it's speaking about. Right? So the book of life is a figurative expression to talk about the record. Are we together? The record. In fact, it was a book that in their world was used to take note of people who were alive. The record of people who were alive at the time. What you call like census book. Are we together? So the believer, the Bible says in Romans, we've come alive by his blood, right? We've come alive because of what he has done. So we are alive unto God. It means our names are forever in the book of life. Nothing can take away your name from the book of life. So God doesn't use tippet space to remove your surname. Then once you just offend him, you just tear the whole page. And all that is within it. So all of you that is within that page, you are all gone. Because what? No, God is not petty. I don't say he's not that petty. But if I said he's not that petty, it means he's petty, but not that petty. God is not petty. Are we together? God actually has created a structure on the earth so that a man's name gets into the book of life out of his law because the man believes in his law. Are we together? So we think a lot of times that Jesus is the one that persuades God. Are we together? So Jesus is the softer version of God. Or God sends Jesus to reveal his soft parts to man. You know, people believe that. You don't know that. Yeah, people believe that God sends Jesus to reveal. So there are two sides of God. God sends Jesus, but there's the other side. And you don't want to see the other side. Better believe Jesus. Well, but I'll tell you for free that Jesus really is the expression of God to mankind. Look at John 14 quickly. John 14. John chapter 14. John 14, 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the what? Are you there? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So who's talking there? So is Jesus the way? Is it the truth? Is it the life? Do you know that scripture that says, I shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free? You know that scripture? You know what to use it for now? Children. Right? Or when you go to police station. You know, when you go to police station, it's not every time that the truth is set free. You don't know. If somebody asks you to meet me in police station, now you know the truth that happened. That truth, does it set you free? They will arrest you, then you will be free in the prison. Right? So that scripture is not about say the truth every time. Are you supposed to say the truth every time? Yes, but not that scripture. So when it says you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free, Jesus now says I'm the way and the truth. So who should you know that sets you free? Jesus, the truth. Yeah, so I'm the way that is the truth. So the word there, truth, is the word aletheia in the Greek. And it's the word that means the reality. So I am the way, the reality, even life. I am the way, the truth, and life. I am the way, the reality, even life. So that word life is the gift that God gives upon the resurrection. Well, John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave that what we believe shall become what? Shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? So it says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So is Jesus separating himself from the way, the truth, and the life? He's saying the same thing. So Jesus is the way to the life. He is the way, he is the life. He is the way, he is the truth, he is the life. Right? How do you know what I'm saying? Okay, go to John 1. Go to John 1. Go to John 1. John 1, 1. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who is talking here? That is John, right? Where is he referring to? Genesis? Is it Genesis? So he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, go to Genesis 1. Why do you have plenty fingers? So that you can what? Open plenty scriptures together. Alright? So go to Genesis 1. What did John say you should find in Genesis 1? The beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that Word you need to find in Genesis 1 is God. You get that? So what does Genesis 1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now go back to John 1. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Look at verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So in who was life? Is that the word? In the word was life. And in the life, or that life is the light of men. So it means that, as they say, look at verse 5. And light shineth in darkness, and darkness does not comprehend it. Is that similar to God said, let there be light, and there was light? Are we together? So the light in Genesis 1 verse 3, is it the sun or the moon? No, it can't be. Are we together? Right? So when the Bible says God said let there be light and there was light, it wasn't saying God said let there be the sun and there was the sun. Are we together? So that light is the life in the Word. You get that? So God was the Word was God, in him was life, the life was the light of men. And darkness, and light shone, and darkness could not comprehend it. So it means that, so in Genesis 1, talking about something that God did, or something that God will do. He did. Okay, so hold your hands. That's another finger, right? So hold your hands and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Are you there? Verse 3. Are you in verse 3? 2 Corinthians 4, 3. But if our gospel be hid, now hold on. Who is writing the book of Corinthians? Paul. Right? Was the book of Corinthians written when Paul was... when Jesus was in the flesh? Was Jesus able to quote Romans? Did Jesus say, open your Bible to Romans? Did Jesus say, open your Bible to Matthew? So Jesus did not say, open your Bible to Matthew. For what we see as Matthew is the physical life of Jesus among men. You know, history shows that a lot of the epistles, what are epistles, the letters like Philemon and Titus, Timothy, Ephesians, they were written after Jesus resurrected. Right? And history also shows that a lot of them were written before Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were written. Yeah. All together. Right? So it means that, so when you see the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's not that Matthew was carrying diary. You know that, I know some of us live like that now. You have diary. Eh? Day one. Yeah, I open my diary every day. Eh? That's how Matthew was saying. And so Matthew was just prepared and saying Jesus go inside the middle of where these people are living. He said, and Jesus entered into. That's what was happening, right? Because you realize that even after Jesus died and resurrected, they did not still believe. So if it took them the end for them to believe, it means that throughout the journey, they were not believing. They were just doing anywhere the stomach faces. You know, that's the Greek way of saying it. All together. They were just doing anywhere wind blows, right? So they were just actually being around. Now, so Paul will write Corinthians. Now, where did Jesus teach from? Genesis to Malachi. So it means that for no reason did Jesus teach from Matthew. So it means that everything Jesus taught in Matthew would have its foundation in Genesis to Malachi. So it really means you really will not understand Matthew to Revelation without understanding Genesis to Malachi. Did you get that? Did you get that? Because Jesus will read Genesis and you will call it Matthew. Paul will read Genesis to Malachi, you will call it Philippians. I'm going to show you an example just now, right? So, you cannot afford to be a student of the word that relegates Genesis to Malachi. You know, some of us do that. Genesis to Malachi is just Old Testament. It's under the law. We're under grace. Now, we have the grace of the Lord on our life. We're under grace. We're under the law. Everything about the grace of God was taught from Genesis to Malachi. Everything. So, it means that if you don't see the grace of God in Genesis to Malachi, you've not read well. Because Jesus read Genesis to Malachi, and his conclusion was the grace. Did you get that? Right? So look at what Paul now says. So when Paul is saying this in verse 3, 2 Corinthians 4:3, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the what? Lest the what? Are you there? The light of the what? Glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. So who is the image of God in that verse? Are you following? Who is the image of God in that verse? Christ. Right? Where is the first mention of image in the Bible? Genesis 1, and God created man in his own image. What is Paul saying? So who is Paul saying the image is? Christ. Are we together? So Paul is saying the image Moses first fundamentally spoke about is Christ. So male and female are to be found in the image. Right? So when you see the word image in the Bible, like I told you, the Bible was written in English. Don't use English language to interpret Bible words. Image there doesn't mean picture. Amen? Image there does not mean picture. It's not that God, the snap God, and what we saw in the picture was Jesus. No. Are we together? Right? The image of God, the word there, image there, speaks about a physical representation of the unseen. So, in their world, when they served gods that do not exist, in their shrine, they will have, how many of you know those people who have dolls, for instance? You know dolls. You know people serve dolls. You know people serve toy snakes. You know people serve toy elephants. You don't know. Like, and that is what they put in their room, and every morning before they say it to anybody, they go there and they bow to it. Right? You see, in their minds, they know that there is something, they know there's a supernatural being that they are bowing to. But they've used that image or that thing to represent who they are bound to. All together. So the same thing for the believer. So the image of God will be Christ Jesus, who will be the physical representation of God to who? To mankind. All together. So he now says, let the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Look at verse 5. He now says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. Now let's read verse 6 together. 2 Corinthians 4:6. 1, 2, 3, go. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So where did God command light to shine out of darkness? Genesis 1. Yeah? Genesis 1. Right? So where is that light to shine? In the heart of man. So when God said, let there be light, is that a prophecy? Yes. Because it's something that will happen via the resurrection and man believing. Then what now happens? We now preach. So what am I doing to you now? Or what do we do when we go to the streets to preach? We are shining the light of the glorious gospel in the hearts of men that are dark. So when it says the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, where was darkness found? Not in the atmosphere now, it will be in the heart of man. Did you get that? Right, so darkness will... So look, go back to Genesis 1. Don't forget, you're in John 14. We went to John 14 through John 1, then all the way to Genesis, I remember. So in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens and the earth. So heaven and earth in Genesis 1:1, will that be the sky and where you are standing? No. It has to be a prophecy. Are we together? Right? So look at what he said about... Did he say anything about heaven in Genesis 1:2-3? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1-3. Did he say anything about heaven? Yes. Did he say anything about heaven or he mentioned heaven?
He mentioned heaven.
When did he mention heaven? Verse 1. Yes. So he says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. Now go to Isaiah 65:17. Another finger. Then John 14, then John 1, then Isaiah 65. Isaiah 65:17. Isaiah is in not close to Revelation. But... Are you there? Yeah. Isaiah 65, verse 17. What does it say there? For behold, are you there?
Yes.
For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of what? Crying. Right? So, from that scripture, you see the teaching of God creating, right, a new heaven and new earth. Right? The Bible says, God in another scripture in Isaiah will say, I'm the one that declares the end of a matter from the beginning. Right? Can someone help you check for that scripture quickly? It's in Isaiah. Let me just search for that scripture. When he says, I'm the one that created, that says the end of a matter, or proclaims or declares the end of a matter from the beginning. Skip my mind just now. Isaiah 46, right? Thank you. Isaiah 46. First, what is that? Lovely. Look at verse 9. Look at Isaiah 46, 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. So what is this thing about this God, that there is none like him? Look into your Bible. Look at verse 10. What does it say? Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So what is unique about God? God declares the end from the beginning. So, Genesis 1, what is God doing? Declaring the end from the beginning. You see that? So, from Genesis 1, when he says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, what is God really doing? Declaring the heavens, the end from the beginning. So, it means that the Bible opens up with what God wanted to be the conclusion of man. A new heaven and a new earth. Which was what you call New Jerusalem. What you call Heavenly Jerusalem. Why does the Bible call it Heavenly Jerusalem? Because heaven and earth will be a figurative way to speak of the union between the Spirit of God and man. Are we together? Will be a figurative way to speak about the union between the Spirit of God and man. Glory to God. Are we together? So does God declare the end of a matter from the beginning? Yes, he does. Genesis 1 gives an example. So it says, So what did God say in the beginning, Genesis 1:3? God said, let there be light. Is that beginning or end?
End.
It has to be end now. God said, let there be light. Right? What would that be? If God is declaring the end from the beginning. So it means that in that Genesis 1 verse 3, you might not see it as literal light. Are you following? What am I trying to explain to you? The love of God has been from time. God's love did not change because Jesus died. In fact, like I've said before, let me say it again. Jesus did not die to God. Jesus did not give his blood to God. God was not bloodthirsty. Anger only lies in the bosom of a man who cannot see beyond his nose. Did you get that? Right? So if I know, you see, if I see ahead and I know that if I step out of this door, you will offend me. When I get out of the door and you offend me, I will not be angry. So you can't say God knows the end from the beginning. He's the Almighty God, the omnipotent, omnipresent God. He knows all things. But yet, God cannot see beyond his nose. So when man does something, he now shocks God, then God is angry. Do you get that? Anger only lies in the bosom of a being or a man who cannot see beyond his nose. So if God sees the end from the beginning, there's nothing in the history of mankind that can shock God. Why? Because he knows ahead. So it means that when God gave his son, Jesus Christ, for man, it wasn't a reaction to what man did. Did you get that? It wasn't that man sinned, then God now said, let me give man Jesus. No, it is that before man even was created, there was the plan of Jesus. And that's why Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 comes before Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, verse 27, Genesis 5, when you talk about God making man. Are you following here? Hope you're here. Is it too much to handle?
No.
Yeah? So I'm just recapping a lot of things I've said about the month. Right? So the love of God has been his plan from time. So out of God's love for mankind, God said from the beginning, God said, let there be light. Are we together?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So how did Paul, go back to 2 Corinthians, let's finish 2 Corinthians and close it up. So look at 2 Corinthians 4, 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, had shined in our hearts. So, what is had shined in our hearts? The light. What? So, in regards to Isaiah 46, the end. Do you understand? God wanted light from the beginning. The light is going to be the end of the matter. Now, Paul is now saying, for God who commanded light to shine out of our hearts, has shined in our hearts. So it means we fulfill destiny. You know that song? Destiny changer. You know that song? Come and change my destiny. My destiny today. You are better not sing that song again. Your name is Yahweh. You are a miracle. Yeah, yeah, it's a miracle working God. Yeah, I understand the context in which they sing the song, right? They want their challenges to change. Yeah? Well, but when you actually say God should change your destiny, what you're trying to say is that you want to be out of Christ. Why? Because the destination God prepared for you is in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
The destination. So when it says, I know the plans I have for you, it's not job. When it says, I know the plans I have for you, they are good and not for evil, to bring you to where? An expected end. So the expected end is the fulfillment of the promise from time. So we have come into God's expected end for you. Your destiny cannot change. You've come into the fulfillment of God. So I know the plans I have for you, they are good and not of evil. You see, that's what I think we say to encourage ourselves when we are going through challenges. You know that, I hope you know that most Christians have challenges. Don't shout it, but I think it's all. Don't shout, but I think it's all. You know now. You know. Are we together? And I hope you know that if the good of God is a good job, a good house, a good car, a lot of us as Christians are not there. I might never get there. Amen?
Amen.
You know why? You see, a lot of things, in fact, majority of the things on the earth are controlled by men involved. How many of you used to do forex? Don't laugh too much. Don't laugh too much. Don't expose yourself. If you don't forex before, forex market has burnt me. In Christ, forex burnt me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, now, if you follow forex, right? Now, forex either goes up or down, bullish or bearish, right? Now, you know, for every time that market moves, its movement is dependent on other men. Yeah? You know what you call institutional traders? Let me not teach you forex. Have you realized that? You know, forex, you can draw map on forex, draw line, you'll be expecting me that it will get here. And you enter here, you want to get here and make $5,000 just like that. And all of a sudden, just before it touches that your line, you drill. You will just see reversal. You will just see, it will just go and be low, just on top. Maybe you put your line to be at 18, and your take profits to be at 1894.62. Instead of you to be content and put it at 5.8, you put 6.2, right? And as soon as it just gets to 6.1, it just turned. And your market just goes boom. And you account that you know where you're in forex. You see your profits. You are seeing £1,000 in your account. You start to really think about to spend it. The money has entered your account here. You start looking for, who are the people that are selling house around here? And as you are thinking of it, right in front of you, you realize you are owing the market $3,000. And the market is stop loss. There's not people that use stop loss that can leave the market. Before you know it, anything, you are owing somebody, you are owing the market $3,000. For all your initial capital, everything, boom. Who made that market go that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know you can't play that market into your favor. How? That out of all the millions of people in the world trading in the market, you are the favor of God. There's one person just doing trading somewhere around, though. Me, I'm even laboring in the world. You are not even laboring at all. But because they told you are the apple of God's eye, God will turn the table. I can see everything turning around. That's why we see it now. Turning around. Are we together? Right? So, you see, a lot of things are dependent on other men. I'm not talking about, let me say it differently. You know, when you graduate from school, for instance, right, what's the first thing on an average person's mind? How to get a job. What to do next. Right? You know, your goal to get a job is highly dependent if another person will take you or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about, you see, it's easy to go and open company. Yeah, see, I saw somebody that came to the UK a few months ago, and the person, I just checked for the person's LinkedIn account just to help the person put their CV together. And all I saw on the CV was CEO, three different companies. I said, even if you are the HR of a company, and the person applying for admin assistant was a CEO in three companies, would you say there are better things ahead? Are we together? So in the real sense, you realize that because you are dealing with men, you have to adjust some things. Why are you laughing? You are dealing with men. You were responsible for clearing a room and moving the things in that room. You say you are project manager. Somebody said you use a plaster on the bed, you say you are medical assistant. Why are you all laughing like this? Are we together? You see, coming to this country to work made me know that what I was doing as project I did my CV, I just have 5 years experience in project management. I started work, I realized that what I was doing in Nigeria, I was just managing crisis. That is crisis management or situation management. Eh? When they ask me what is project charter, project manager, project charter, you are trying to say it's the charter of the charter of the charter, I don't know what to say. So, do you understand what I'm trying to say? What I'm trying to say is, so because a man will interview me, what do? I prepare to stand before the man. Do miracles happen so that people that don't deserve a job will get the job?
Yeah.
Yes, now. But you know it's only Christians.
Yeah.
You know now. It's only Christians. Right? So miracles happen. The miracles that will happen are not limited to believers alone. That's why I was saying something. How does God meet the needs of believers? Yes, and I will say it. If one day you wake up and see money in your account, the first thing you do is what? Call your bank. Are we together? In a country, what is money? Legal tender. Are we together? So it is the country that determines the amount of money that is in circulation. So if any money gets to your account by mistake, it is from what is in circulation. Right? God doesn't have a machine room where he's printing money and he now just throws it to your account. My question is, what currency will God do? Because if God decides to choose GBP over Zimbabwe dollars, that is, God is a partial God. So what regulates the frequency for God, man? Are we together? So it means that to a very large extent, when you actually understand, and that's why you don't understand the love of God by the things you get or the things you don't get. Because there are times, there are things you will hope for. Have you ever applied for a job? And the way they spoke to you, you thought you would become the next CEO. I'm happy you're laughing. I remember I applied for a job a couple, that's when I just came, JJC. The guy just, wow, you what a brilliant thing. Wow, I like the way you speak. I finished first level interview, second level interview, third level interview. Oh, the CEO was so impressed. I'm sure there's one more person they want, there's always one more person they want to interview. And that's the best way to tell you that be careful, you're not the only one. And there's one person that we will get back to you by towards the end of next week, Friday. Now, I already started calculating how we, do this one, do that one, do this one. Friday, nobody messaged me. I said, let me give that to Monday. Maybe she's on leave. Monday, before I even woke up on Monday, I woke up with on four. What is on four? The Greek way of saying they are not fortunate. Unfortunately, we love your CV. We'll put your CV in database. Who assigned you? Who asked you? We'll put your CV in database. You know, what am I really saying? Right? So if I say I got a job and that's the proof that God loves me, what of the days I don't get a job? Because you know a lot of times you might have more bad days like that than good days.
Yeah.
It's not always consistent. Are we together? Right? So in the real sense, we understand God's love based on what the Bible teaches as God's love. So go back to verse 6. Yeah. For God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. Are we together? So go back to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. You can close 2 Corinthians, go back to Genesis 1, then we'll go back to John 1. Genesis 1 now says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moved upon the face of the waters. So what was described in Genesis 1 verse 2? The heavens or the earth? The earth. What did he say about the earth? It was without form and void. So from what we saw in 2 Corinthians, for what we saw in John, what did John 1:1 say? In him was life, the life was the light of men. So did this earth, was this earth in darkness?
Yes.
Yeah, look at it now. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So if God was going to give a light, and Jesus now, John now tells you in John 1, in him was life, the light was the light to men. So who is the earth in Genesis 1:2? The heart of man. So darkness was upon the face of the deep. He's speaking about the heart of man without light. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Because the light that is in Christ Jesus is not to supply light to the sky. It is to supply light to men. You see, it in him was light. The light was the light of men. So what is the light of God? Is the light of God the life of God?
Yes.
Is the life of God the Spirit of God?
Yes.
So what does he now say? And the Spirit of God was moved. So, the Spirit of God moving comes with what? Let there be light. So, how else can you say, let there be light?
The Spirit of God
moved. Or, can you say, let there be light?
Yeah.
So, when God said, let there be light, what else was he saying? Let there be light. Where is life needed? In the heart of man that is in darkness. Is it getting clear?
Yeah.
Right? And there was what? Light. Praise God. Are we here? Let's not dwell on this too much. Go back to John 1. Then go back to John 3. So, he now says in verse 4, Genesis 1, 4. He says, John 1, 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and darkness could not what? Comprehend it. So darkness comprehended it not. What does that really mean? It means that the light. Now, what did Paul call the light? 2 Corinthians 4. Let me see if they are following. The light of the glorious gospel. So, God said, let there be light. What was he saying? God said, let there be the light of the glorious gospel. Where will that light shine? On man or in man?
In man.
So, the Bible is not a book to make you write and wise concerning physics. It's not to make you wise, because that's why scientists can sit you down and ask you questions you will not answer. I tell you for free. You will not answer. You know, people believe there's what you call gap theory. That there were thousands of years between Genesis 1 verse 1. Let's just say this way. There were thousands of years between Genesis 1 and Genesis 3. So it was in those years that we had the likes of dinosaurs. And we're together. Or we've had the likes of so many things that have gone extinct. Right? So if you ask me that question, what do I think? I don't think anything. Because the Bible is not to make me wise regarding animals. I'm sufficient in saying that the light that God supplies is the light that quenches darkness in the heart of man. So you were once in darkness, and God said, let there be light to you. Now, how did God say, let there be light to you? Somebody preached the gospel to you. So, when the Bible says, the Spirit of God moved, how does the Spirit of God move? When men move. That is, when men move to preach. You know that song, all over the world, the Spirit is moving, all over the world, as the prophet said it to be, all over the world, there's a mighty, there's a, covers the sea. So, all over the world, the Spirit is moving. How is the Spirit moving? When you move. I can't be staying in your house and saying the Spirit is moving. Moving to where and to who? Right? Because the Spirit will move when you move. Right? So what now happens? You have quenched darkness in your heart. You now have the touch of light. Then you carry the touch of light wherever you go. So is there an expectation from somebody who darkness has been quenched in his heart?
Yeah.
Yes, now
everything you see and do, anything we see you do, should be what? Full of light. Are you here? Now let's go. Let's start our teaching today. So let's continue. First John 3. Wow, that time went out on me. First John 3. You know, eventually, even the rekindle I'm looking forward to, it will still go out on me. Yeah, look at 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive the love of God. That he what? Are you in 1 John 3:16?
Yes.
Dear saints, are you there?
Yes.
So hereby perceive the love of God, because he what? Laid down his life for us. So did Jesus lay down his life for us?
Yes.
What is the life that he laid down? What is the life he laid down?
His life.
That's what I'm asking. What is the life that he laid down? He says his life. I don't know. Eh? Okay, from Genesis 1:1-3. What is the life he laid down? The life he gave man. All together. Right? So he says, for God so by pursuing the love of God because he laid down his life. Now, what did he say upon account of that? We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. All together. Now, look at Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Verse 36. Matthew 22, verse 36. See what it says there. It says, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? So they were asking Jesus a question. Which is the great commandment in the law? Look at what Jesus said unto him in verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt what? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. This is the what? First and the great commandment. Now look at the second. 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Look at verse 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. What is Jesus saying? He said you can summarize Genesis to Malachi in these two commandments. So what is the fundamental message Genesis to Malachi is teaching? Love. Love towards God and love towards man. Now let me ask you a question. I've taught it over time, but I expect you to answer. What is love towards God? Can you really love God you've not seen? Well, the best way to love God you've not seen is to receive of his love that he has given to you. So when he says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, with all thy heart, what he's saying is, receive, open your heart to receive the love he has sent to you. So when he gives you love, what do you now do? What is the second commandment? Thou shalt love thy neighbor. So over the week, we've classified it into two. We said number 1A and 1B. What is 1A? Receive of the love of God. What is 1B? Give of the love of God. So when the Bible says, love thy neighbor as thyself, it's not saying love yourself in the way you want your neighbor to love you. That's what selfish love. Because the love we receive is a selfless love. So it says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart means receive of his love. Then thou shalt love thy neighbor. Now, are there men who God loves and they don't love their neighbor? You know, over the week, we saw an example of the man called Peter who asked Jesus a question. And Peter came to Jesus and said, dear Lord and Savior, you are a great teacher. He said, how many times should one person offend me and I should forgive? What did Peter say? Peter did not just say, how many times should one person offend me? He says, is it 7 times? You know what it means? I was giving an example over the week. You know how when people come to your house, right, and you've done one very nice turkey or chicken, right? And the person comes all of a sudden and says he wants to eat. I say, right? It's you I'm talking to. This love. This love we are talking about is you we are referring to. You say, right? And the person comes to your house. You know how the person says he wants to eat? And you know that chicken wants to eat it alone. You now say, there is a pasta. Say you will use, say is a Nigerian way of saying, say you will eat it with egg. You see, that way, by saying shake, you've put egg in the person's mind. Right? Just over the person. You know, very few people have the mind to say, what do you have? Do you have any other thing else?
In another person's house.
Not everybody has the mind. All together. Right? So you go to somebody's house and the person is saying, Shay, you eat egg. That would, the way they say, Shay, you eat egg, you've already put it in your mind that it's egg that is the only option for you. So the other option the owner of the house expects to get from you is, I will eat egg or I will not eat egg. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So in that way, you've tried to put a thought. So Jesus now says, Peter now says, God, how many times should I forgive one person? Maybe 7 times. So Jesus would have said, well, we're not really 7, but 7 is a good number. But Jesus did not say that. He said, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a king who forgave a man of 10,000 pounds. I've talked that over the week. Right? What happened? A king, a man, so you were owing me 10,000 pounds like you are. It's not by laughing. This one is not the love work. I'm going to say. So you are owing me 10,000 pounds, you are owing me 10,000 pounds. You know where I give you. Are we together? It's between me and God. So, right? So you are owing me 10,000 pounds, right? And you come to me and I said, go and arrest her. Let her go and sell all her properties and let her pay me back my money. Then you now came and lied down. I now say, please now, please now, please now, please now. Don't worry, give me some time. Let me go and leave us small. I'll go and work small. I'll do shit. I'll pick shit. I'll balance up. I'll do this. I'll do that. I'll balance up. I'll do everything. And I said, well, okay. You know what? Rather than go and stress yourself to work shit, just go and take care of your family and forget that you ever owed me 10,000 pounds. You say, yes, glory! Glory to the king. You come there. Before even you have already started picturing how you share the testimony in the church. Praise! Right? I'll tell myself, I love my soul. So I'll tell you now to your testimony. That's an insult. So when he's sharing his testimony, he said, I want to thank God for salvation of my soul. You say that's not the reason. Now to your testimony. And what you want to say is that you got 10,000 pounds wiped off your feet. Right? Right? Or you say, praise the Lord! All of them will answer. You say, that's for you. That's for our pastor. One the one for God. Are we together? Right? You started painting it. But now, what the Bible teaches that was, as soon as she left my office, she stepped out of the door and saw her owing her 100 pounds. And what did she do? She held her by the neck, dealt with her, called soldier, put her in prison. 100 pounds. 100 pounds. What now happened? People around now saw it. I said, they now came back to me and said, hey, wonders will never cease. Eh? You see that, remember that lady you forgave 10,000 pounds? She threw somebody in prison for 100 pounds. What was Jesus in that parable to teach? Jesus was teaching that the forgiveness you've received as a believer is so overwhelming that nothing else a man can do to you is worth not forgiving. Why do you think he gave that gap, 10,000 pounds and 100 pounds? Are they the same? You know, if I eventually didn't forgive you and you collected 100 pounds from the person that was owing you, you still have, you've not touched the end. Touch more of the garment. Do you understand? So Jesus is saying, you've been forgiven. So Jesus is saying, forgive 70 times 7. He's not saying, very, 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 you know, some people can actually go and start writing it. Sister Esther, she offended me today. Day one is 2. 770 times 70 is 490 minus 2, 488. Right? Sister Esther does 5 the next day. You calculate. Jesus is saying, let it have an unending end. Or an end that is unending. Are we together? Are we together? So that's what Jesus was teaching. So Jesus now says, how we know your love for God is when we see your love to man. Dear saints, you know, saints can keep malice. Eh? Like they have, I don't know. Saints have a way of keeping malice. It shocks me. It doesn't shock you. It shocks me. People can keep. Like, what I'm trying to say is, I'm trying to say that people can hate people with their full chest. I don't see a problem with it. What is Jesus saying? To you, whom much has been given, much is really expected. Are we together? Right? Look at Romans 18. Look at Romans 18. Did I say Romans 18?
Yeah.
So Romans 13. Bible scholar. you know, romance doesn't get to a thing. Even with that, just no romance. Are you Romans 12? Look at Romans 12. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Is there a so when he says don't be conformed to this world, what's he saying? Is there a way this world views challenges?
Yeah.
Romans 12, 2. Yeah. Is there a way this world views challenges?
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If Sister Vim is my friend, are we together? And let's say Sister Vim offended me, right? And I go back to Sister Vim to be sure that I make peace with Sister Vim. Do you know there's a name that an average person can call me? There's an average name a person can call me. He is foolish. Or they use the Greek word idiotis. You know, idiotis is the Greek word in 1 Corinthians 14. Right? I say, you just be behaving like a lot of people to just be behaving, treating you anyhow, just like that. Is that not the way the world expects things to be done? You know, the world expects that if you offend me today, when I see you tomorrow, I go this way. Are we together? Right? The world expects that if I do something to you, when you see me, right? Or in fact, what's come to worse, you change church. Amen? What's come to worse, you just decide to just say, I'm not the other man. God does men, several men. God, we always use men. Have you not found out that when your boss treats you ridiculously, if you don't, on account of that treating, leave the job? Even if you want to leave the job, you just begin to think first on how to start doing your CV. I'm not going there again. So, what is the solution to a doctor that doesn't treat your child well?
Another doctor.
If you have a child that maybe the doctor just misbehaved to you, you say you carry the child and be preparing leave, help, and soak it inside hot water. Is that what you'll be doing? From another hospital, the solution to a bad hospital is what? Another hospital. Your child, you've paid £10,000 on his head for one per month, and for 5 years, he cannot count 1 to 20. You're laughing. It happens. It does do happen. Right? Things happen. Things happen. I just keep it like that. Right? After your five years, maybe it's still doing 1, 2, 7. 1, 2, 7, 8, 9. Oh, sorry. 1, 3, 4. What do you do? Hey, come, who's your teacher? Right? So the solution to a bad school is what? Another school. What is the solution to? Let's assume you are able to explain it in your heart that this church is not a good church. What's the solution? Another church, not your house. Yeah, I worship God in my room. I worship God in my room, and I give my offering to the poor. God sees my heart. You see, all these pastors, all of them, they are. You know, somebody was saying that nonsense to me a couple years ago, and I said, "Come, what is your name?" Unfortunately for him, he had a name. That somebody, he had the same name, let's say for instance, the name was Paul. He had the name of somebody that had done something terrible to me in the past. I said, what is your name? He said, his name is Paul. I said, all Pauls are the same. Because I had a Paul that did something bad to me. All of you are the same. Doesn't make any sense. I don't go and say all pastors are the same. They don't want to be stealing people's money. Or what are you even giving? You know, what are they able to give from you first? You know me very well. I preach against the doctrine of seed sowing. Seed sowing is one of the greatest scams in the church. Right? There's nothing like sow seed and it multiplies a lot. Right? You can't sow seed in my farm. And it's now growing in your farm. How? And you sow, my land is the fertile ground. You sow seed in my ground. But you are reaping the mango in your farm. How now? That's magic. Yes, that's why I teach against it. But that teaching against it doesn't mean that there's not the angle of what biblical giving is. You give as an end in itself, not give expecting God to owe you. That's why I see some people today, they are still angry at God. The pastor tells you, give your Isaac. You go and close your account, you drop it. 5 months after, you cannot eat. 6 months after, you cannot eat. You're angry at God. Something you're supposed to go back to the pastor and say, oh God, give me that. I have the receipt here. That's why I need to transfer. I have the receipt. My pastor is showing your church name. Give me back my pamongri. I wish there were more men like that. So you'll be able to collect your money, but somebody say
you read some 50.
I'm still, you say, go and read some 100 and drop $100. $100. What happened to 100p? Why must the amount be USD? I'm going to multiply. As some of you in the auditorium, you'll be in those meetings, you'll be able to calculate people that came out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, 5, 15, 8, 1, to understanding God's law and understanding the things that, you know, God expects from us as believers, there's such a thing called paying attention to that which God has given to you. So your own man law. Are we together? He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, let's read verse 9 together. Romans 12, 9. What does it say?
Let love
be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Now, look at verse 14, where a lot of us don't like to read. It says, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. What does the Bible teach to do to people who persecute you?
Bless.
Did Jesus teach the same? Do you remember Jesus in Matthew 5? Love your enemies. Go to Matthew 5 now. You don't like to quote it. Matthew 5. Verse 44. Matthew 5, 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that what? Hate you. Is there a tendency that man will hate you? What does God expect you to do to a man that hates you? Yeah, do good to them. Right? So he says, do good to them that hate you and pray for them that despitefully use you. Can man despitefully use you? Yes, now. He said 100%. Yes, I think it's 200%. Man can use man. You know, I was saying about the week, the only way you can curb offense in the local church is by just allowing only a man in the church. The moment a man can relate to another man, there's tendency for what?
Yes.
Offense and strife and malice. And the local church is not without people. So it means that the local church will have offense. Eh? Somebody can get upset at me that I did not greet him the way I greeted the other brother. Do those things happen?
Mm-hmm.
They do. You see, in these my very few years of pastoring, what I've seen with my eyes have seen, my ears have heard, and I will not talk for now. Eh? The things I've seen, you'll be like, wait, oh. So this person like this now is actually not talking with this person like this, and they're all shouting glory. And you'll be like, wait, oh. So when the pastor says go around and greet people, how do you do? Right? You still clap from there. Is that moment every time you want to go to the toilet? Every time you want to drink water? It happens, oh. It happens. Let me ask you a question. If she offends me, what is God's word to her? Love. If she doesn't love me and she offends me, what is God's word to me? Love. So how do I repay and not love? By loving. So Jesus will say, pray for them that despitefully use you or persecute you. You know, some people will say, he says pray, but he did not give you the prayer point. So that's why I say, every satanic demonic witchcraft power, what are you living for? Some assault, tumble, catch fire, and die. I know I always tell you, the mistake they make is that they start speaking in tongues. The moment they just give the prayer point, they just say, they've left the prayer behind. For you cannot pray in tongues for another to die. You cannot pray for another to die in tongues. Are we together? So if you really want your heart to be in the heart of flesh, just stay your English. But God really will not answer it. Because you can't say, I command you to die in the name of the Lord our Savior, Jesus. What is Jesus? The one who brings salvation. I can't say, I command you to die in the name of Jesus who saves. Does it make any sense? Die by fire in the name of Jesus who saves. See, for God is a consuming fire. His fire will, you see, you will see the fire of the Lord. You see, when you do man like this, I say you will see. I think you're raising your daddy. You want to praise me? Some of us think that you can recruit God into enmity against another man. What is prophetic? When you run, if somebody offends you and you run to God, what will God say to you? Love. Mm-hmm. You say, thank God, daddy, see how they are treating me anyhow. Well, love, love, love. You know why God can easily say love? Because God has shown you an example of love. So in his template, you have a template to follow. Paul said in Ephesians 5, being the followers of God, as Christ has what? And walk in love, as Christ has laid down his life or has loved you. So Jesus says, pray for them. Now, who is God? Look at verse 45, Matthew 5, 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven. For he maketh his son to what? To rise on the evil and on the good. And he allows his rain on the what? Just and on the unjust. So does God allow rain on evil men?
Yes.
Is God the owner of the rain? So God allows his rain on man, both evil and good. God allows his son on man, both evil and good. So God does not allow rain to fall on a man's farm because the man is godly. You understand? God doesn't say he will stop the windows of heaven to close over his land because he's evil. No. God is that good. So how does God respond to man's evil? God responds to man's evil by his good. So it means God doesn't come down to man's level to do tit for tat, just like man does for him. So man will bring an evil heart to God and God's love will swallow it voraciously. And he will say that is the way your love should swallow the hatred man brings away. Altogether. Will men offend you? You see, every day you should wake up and actually remind yourself that whilst you are reminding yourself that men offend you, remind yourself that God loves me and God has a responsibility for me. The Bible says it's for Lord's mercy that we're not consumed, his compassion fails not. They are new every morning. What is they are new every morning? Every morning is an opportunity for the believer to remind himself of God's compassion. So you see, God is compassionate, and I'm compassionate. In stating who God is, you are stating who you are. Are we together? So the template of what God expects from you in your daily relationship is what God has already shown you. Because God was the first one to become man's neighbor. Right? So God became your neighbor and expressed love to you so that you can love your neighbor. Are you getting that? Right? So he says, if you love them, verse 46, who love you? What? If you love them, who love you? Which love you? What reward have you? Not even publicans do say. So he's saying that you don't have to be a Christian to love the people that love you alone. It's a normal thing. Do you understand? Somebody does good to you. What is expected? You reciprocate with good. But the one Jesus is teaching is, why should you do that to those who do good to you? Even those who do evil to you, you respond to that with that. Right? He says, if you salute only your brethren only, that means you are talking to only people who are your friends. Right? You salute only your brethren. Right? You are saluting those people who are your brethren alone. He says, of what difference is there? What do you more than the others? Even people can't do so. Be therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is what? Perfect. Are we together? So that's why in Matthew 6:6, you know what you call the Lord's Prayer? How we recite the Lord's Prayer together? 1, 2, 3, go. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So it means the will should be done on earth with example and template from heaven. What does he say next? Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I've taught you over time. The word give us this day our daily bread doesn't mean God is giving you different food every day. For you know that there are lots of people who are believers who don't know what to eat tomorrow and today. Right? So the word give us this day our daily bread, the word there daily means sufficient, eternal bread. So it says, you give us this day our daily bread. That means our sufficient bread. The bread that when you eat, you are forever satisfied. What does it now tell you next? Forgive us our sins, trespasses. Beautiful. So the Bible says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Is that a right way to read the Bible? Let me show you in context. If you are asking God to forgive you the way you forgive others, no, now let's look at it like that. Since I've been mistaken, thank God is not like that. Imagine God is imagine God watches the way you forgive first before he forgives you. You're in trouble. Do you understand? So what is that scripture really saying? I've taught it in several teachings before. It's saying, you forgive us our trespasses so that we forgive others. So God first forgives you. You see that example, then you forgive others. If you are the one that is forgiven before God, it means God is copying your example. God cannot copy you. Right? You copy God. Ephesians 5, being therefore copiers of God, followers of God, imitators of God. So you forgive us our trespasses so that we forgive others also. Go back to Romans 12. Let's try out from Romans 12 this morning. Are you learning something?
Yes.
Yeah? So look at Romans 12. So he says, verse 14, bless them which persecute you, bless so and curse not. Look at verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Is that your Bible? Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Are you in verse 18? This is where I want you to read together. Verse 18. 1, 2, 3, go. If it be possible, as much as light in you, live peaceably with all men.
Yeah.
So, what is God's instruction to me? If she offends me, look at this, she offends me. What is God's instruction to me? It means there's a way I can go to meet her to make peace. I'm the one hurt. I'm the one she offended. What was God's instruction to her, first of all? Live peaceably with all men. Did she obey it? No. So what am I doing? I am actually now obeying. So I will say, because she does evil to me, I must do evil to you. So in first it says, recompense no man evil for evil. That means when man brings the evil heart of unbelief to God, God's love voraciously overwhelms it. Romans 5 will tell you that when you were yet without strength, you were enemies of God. You were ungodly. You see, Christ died for you when you were, not when you were a good person. Christ died for you when you were a terrible person in the midst of sin. Did you get that? So that's the example you have. So it means that you should be a pro-forgiving person. So you wake up every day and you actually say, I'm owing you forgiveness. It's up to her to use it or not. Altogether, what really should she have on her mind that she too is owing me forgiveness? Mm-hmm. It's up to me to use it. Let's assume she uses her own. Must I use my own? Mm-hmm. No, now. Right? So it is you. So and also let me say this. You know, let people's apology meet you with forgiveness, not their apology prepare you to forgive. Is there a difference? There's a difference, right? You know sometimes, right? Somebody will offend you until the person says, I'm sorry. We know sorry is a magic word. You know, there are five magic words. There are five magic words. There are five magic words that I know. Please excuse me. Sorry, thank you. And the last one, pardon me. So what was that? So in the real sense, but you know, when somebody tells you sorry, you know, the way it just quenches your heart. Is it not true?
Mm-hmm.
What somebody just say, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'm sorry. You know, some people, they make sorry their anthem. You won't even throw it, they throw it at you. You know, there's a way you can be sorry and you'll still be very sorry. I'm sorry, yo. If you like, eat it, don't eat it. You have said my own. And why they are doing that is so that if somebody comes to intervene in this situation. Did I say? I say sorry, I don't say sorry. Dear sin, don't be like that. We are all laughing here. I know you are laughing at yourself. You too, when they say sorry and they throw you, receive it too. Is that the way they say sorry? Why eat your sorry now? Is that the way you're talking? Do you know whom I am? I'm the apple. Even the person is God's apple too. All of you are apple. Are we together? Right. So be that person who when you offend someone, you know, see, don't be so proud that when you realize you offended somebody, you are too proud to say sorry. What is everybody look at me? Lift your holy hands and look at me. Don't look at anybody in church. Pick your own, pick your instruction from today and go home. Eat it. Are we together? Yeah? Yeah. You can be better. Are we together? Don't be known for the one that stays angry the most. I can still agree with you. You have not seen anger. You have not seen anger. Sorry. And you just bone your face. Right? You see, all of us are learning now. How do you know? Mm. We're all learning. Me too, I'm learning now. I'm not painting myself as the most person that will just say every sport. She knows I walk in love dangerously. But even me too, I know. So, you know, sometimes I do something and I look and I say, man or girl. The one who Christ died for. You too. So let people's sorry meet you with forgiveness. Not when the day is a recession. That's okay. No. No, that's okay. No, like, you should be able to say sorry. And she knows. She says sorry, and as she says sorry, that's fine. Do you understand? It should be, that is fine. So, when somebody offends you, don't be looking for how to counsel. Some of you, they will offend you, you'll be writing it down. Believer you. Yeah, no. And your journal on the 20th of August 2022. Do you remember what you did? You don't remember, I'll remind you. I'll remind you. Eh? You came back home and you threw your shoe under the bus. I brought it out for you. Me. I brought it for you. And I kept it in the right place. You didn't even say thank you. You didn't even acknowledge it. Learn to do what the word says without expecting a recompense. Right? Let you do what the word says and let it be an end in itself. So I forgive you not because you can forgive someone that as you are even solving the issue, the person is offending you. Like, we are still trying to be amicable. And in the middle of the amicability, you will now say something that will just stop, that something that you that that's why sometimes you can just relax. So you can choose to pick your words. Okay. Right? You get someone does something against you, so you just talk in tongues for a while. Please come, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm holy, I'm accepted. It's not the easiest of things. But I'm trying to say, Bible says, be therefore perfect as your Father is perfect. So you see the example of your Father and you copy. Say, I'm a copycat. This is not an exam. You know, some people can copy an exam. I remember writing one exam like that. And, like, how? I didn't know the best. I just saw somebody's head was like destroyed the exam. I know the way you chase you put your head so there's only your eye that is moving. You see, that attitude is good when it comes to the Bible. Be a copycat of God's character. That's what I always tell you. As a leader as well, I'm an example to you all to follow. Right? In my examples, you'll find an example to follow. But if peradventure my examples are not aligning with the word, I need to be corrected. I'm not above the word. No one is above the word. The word has the final authority over our lives. So what is Paul teaching? So Paul was saying, if it's possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. So it means somebody can offend you and you're the one that will say, I'm sorry. Or somebody can offend you, and you can actually say, see, I really don't like what you did, but it's fine. Let's move on. Are we together? Don't just be, James will tell you, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. So people know all the Greek words for forgiveness. But to forgive is problem. Are we together? Don't keep record. Go and tear that record book. Go and burn it. If the record is in your mind, go and burn it. Some of you are so good at keeping those information, you don't need paper. Your mind can handle everything. And it's, the documentary is, the repository is piling up. And when it's time, you just bring out the sleeve and you read it. Then you throw it back there. Something you're supposed to tear, you still throw it back there because you'll keep it for tomorrow. No, don't live your life that way. Always be ready to forgive. Let me close here. Now look what it says. Dear beloved, in verse 19, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. Now, look, watch this. It is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. I gave an example of this on Sunday. I saw a pastor saying this, and what he said was, the Bible says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord. You don't get it? Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Oh, you're not getting it. Okay, let me say it again. Vengeance is mine. God said. So he's saying that God is saying that vengeance is for you. Meanwhile, what he's saying, what that scripture means is God is saying that vengeance is his. Right? So is God a God of vengeance? Yes, so you are a God of vengeance. He's a God of vengeance. The question is, man needs to know God's vengeance. So God cannot say recompense no evil, no man with evil for evil, and yet his vengeance is evil for evil. That's a double-minded God. Nothing to follow about him. Then you people forgive. Oh, as for me, I'm God all by myself. I am God all by myself. Yeah? So look at what he said. Now, so you see what he says in verse 20. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, what are you doing? You shall heap coals of fire on his head. So people think that when they are doing good to their enemy, they are putting fire on their head as per literal fire. Does the Bible call God a consuming fire? Mm-hmm. Is God a consuming fire? Mm-hmm. Hebrews 12:29. For our God is a consuming fire. The next verse, what does it say? Hebrews 13:1. Let brotherly love continue. So the consuming fire of God is an expression of love. So let me explain this. I could explain it about the world, but let me explain it to you quickly. If you do bad to me, and I feed you, and I'm loving you, so feeding is just figurative. I keep showing you love. I keep showing you love. What am I doing? The Bible says I'm heaping coals of fire on your head. Now, what is the coals of fire doing on your head? The coals of fire is burning everything that is not of love in your heart that is going to make you repent. So the coals of fire I'm heaping on your head will make you repent and turn your way. So you become a changed person by my love. Wait, let me ask you a question. How did you become a changed person? Mm-hmm. By God's love. So God keeps coals of fire on your head. Your evil heart of unbelief was burnt down. And what happened? You had repentance and ran to God. So it means the love of God can make man change. Or let me say better, the love of God made you change. What did you hear that got you saved? God died for man, for the sins of man, and resurrected out of what? Love. You heard the message of his love and your heart was transformed. So James is then, Paul is saying that, you see, Paul is saying that when you give forgiveness to a man who is undeserving, you are heaping coals of fire on his head. What is the fire doing? The fire is burning all those things that are not of love so that your heart can be transformed. So when Jesus was dead on the cross and was resurrected, what was he doing to your conscience? Heaping coals of fire on your head. So what happened? It got to a time that everything got burnt. Then what happened? He said, oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you that I love you more than anything. Yeah? But what did he do? So Jesus did not wait for you to change before he changed. Jesus gave you love in advance and expected that love will work on your heart. That's what it means. He says, when your enemy is hungry, feed him. When he's thirsty, give him water to drink. For in doing so, you are heaping coals of fire. That means your forgiveness is going to make them change. Let me ask you a question. Now, a lot of people, I know you might be asking, Pastor, I know what I've done to this person, that nothing is changing. You see, whilst you are walking in love, you are not the one to determine when another man will change. Do you understand? Mm-hmm. Don't walk in love and give man, I give you 6 months. Mm-hmm. Are we together? You will more often than not conclude you're walking in love. So for some people, it is 10 years. Some people, it's 3 months. Some people, it's 2 days. For some, it's 20 years. So at day one of 120 years, what are you to do? Walk in love. At day 5,000, what are you to do? Walk in love. Mm-hmm. At day 501, the person has just teaching, what do you do? You walk in love. So it's called a walk because it's a journey. Right? You keep up the walk. You keep up the walk. You keep up the walk. Look at verse 21. Being not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with what? Good. So what does God expect us to overcome man's evil with? Good. Look at verse 8 of Romans 18. Romans 13 rather. Let's go to verse 8. Romans 13, 8. It says, owe no man anything but what? To love one another, for he that loveth another hath what? Fulfill the law. So look at verse 9. It says, for this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly what? Comprehended in this saying. Thou shalt love thy what? Neighbor. So what is Paul teaching? I've closed my Bible. Right? Paul is teaching that in the real sense, if love is the fulcrum behind your actions on the earth,
you will actually not do a lot of these things. So why would I not steal from you? Because I love you. Why would I not commit adultery whilst I'm married? I love the person. Why would I not bear false witness against somebody? I saw you. I was there. You know that I was there, but I was there. I'll be able to force me. Why won't I do it? I love you. Why won't I kill? I love man. So Paul is saying that in the real sense, if love is the fulcrum behind all your actions, you realize that life is easier than we think. So what is God's instruction to you and to me? Love your neighbor. Who is your neighbor? Your neighbor is any human being that is within the sphere of your communication. All together. Neighbor is not talking about you are in flat 4, the person is in flat 7. Neighbor just really means another man. And I told you before, if the Bible, if Jesus did not know that men will offend men, there will be no need to say love your enemies. Are you with me? Are you with me? There will be no need to say love your enemies. Now, don't be that believer who, how many of you studied chemistry or you did chemistry or biology? You know, I studied biology. You know, and I stopped doing biology in my S1 first term. I stopped going to the classes. Why? Because the woman, like, I was wondering, why do we have a textbook and our notes is more than the textbook? What are you teaching us? And she will come to class with three different biology textbooks. She will open it on the table. And she will quote from here. She will quote from here. She will quote from here. Wait, can we not buy the textbook and underline it and read? So our notes were very long. So I stopped attending biology class. But what is biology really about? Biology has what you call practical. Are we together? Or you say chemistry. No, chemistry has what you call practical. You have something called titration in chemistry. Now they can give you the theory in the class. When you enter the lab, what do? You step back. It's nice to go forward. Your name is E, my name is J. E before J. Go ahead. Right? So what makes you want to step back when the war faces you? Is because the knowledge you learned is just head knowledge. It hasn't gotten into your heart. You know, there's a way they will teach you titration. You get into the lab and before you know, you pick your beaker. You pour it. Don't go and burn yourself. What are we saying? The lab is the real practical place for your Christian faith. So if you're talking with everybody, that's not working in love. Everybody's talking with you. That's not working in love. We see your practice of working in love when we see that this person offended you. And yet, see, there's a difference between somebody offended and you want to do. We are cooking every Sunday together. Do you understand? Your heart might not be at that place at time, but that you say you cannot say hello, that you say you cannot say hi, because you're upset. It really means that all your doctrine of walking in love is head knowledge. Are we together? Is there a thing called guarding your heart? Yes. Is there a thing called keeping your space? See, I told you yesterday as an example, I tell you for free. I'm not shy about it. There are friends into their hundreds who don't teach the same thing I teach. They don't believe in eternal life like me. They believe in seed sowing. I'm sure when they go see some of my videos on seed sowing, they will be thinking I'm attacking them, but I don't have them in mind. But what do I do for my sanity? I mute them. But I chat with them consistently. When I mute them, for instance, does it affect them? No. My muting or not muting them is me is affecting. So what I just keep my sanity, I mute. But you cannot need help from me and I'll say, because I'm teaching nonsense. And people do that. People think that because we're not teaching the same doctrine, let me tell you, it will be very difficult for all the churches to teach the same doctrine. Even though that's God's will. Doctrine is not true. There's only one interpretation of the Bible. The Bible doesn't have several meanings. It has one meaning. But there's every tendency that not every church will teach all that is God's will and God's counsel. Altogether. But despite what they are teaching or what they are not teaching, what do you owe them? Owe no man anything but to love. Let me give you a final example before I close. You know, I have some friends who believe that seed sowing is the way people make money. Altogether. One day, one of them reached out to me to borrow money. The flesh in me almost suddenly said, I thought your God is the provider of all things new. Right? What is that? That's wickedness. Why? Because I want to show them pepper. You know what pepper is? You want to show them that I know the one that you're saying that salvation is all encompassing. So So my money is sorted, my finance is sorted. It's not sorted, any sorted though. That's why you labor. I was trying to give an example earlier on. How does God bless another man? Fundamentally by another man. So, you know, God can ask, I can have promptings in my spirit to give you 10 pounds or 100 pounds. Or let me say it the other way around. Right? You marry to your spirit. You say it's here, I receive it. You marry to your spirit. And you know, see, God can give you, you can have a leading to give 100 pounds. And I will say, God is leading you to give us something. And you know, you can say to me, is it your leading? Pastor, leave me. You don't know my account. Pastor, don't, and I hear God myself. Do you understand? So, who has lost in that? Both of you have lost, really. One, you've lost in the fact that you don't obey God. Because that God's will to bless her, to give her, is through you. If you don't give her, she will not have. Let's say the spirit that jumped from you into Brother CJ. If Brother CJ doesn't give her, she will not have. If Sister Kokola doesn't give her, she will not have. So, what is the easiest way for her to have without Brother CJ, Sister Stephanie, Sister Bukola? Go and walk, oh. About Jesus, go and walk. Because when you are walking, you are sure of consistency. Because not everybody will obey the leading of the Spirit to give. Are we together? Yeah? But you know, out of love, the Bible says, owe no man anything but love. It says, if your brother has need of these things of this world, and you have it, and you short of your brothers of compassion, it says, you call yourself, you're a liar. Why? Because we don't see an exhibition of, I love you forever. How do we know we love you? You love God forever. We see your conduct and love towards another.